Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 34. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room at the music table over here. So what's your week been like for play this week? Did you manage to squeeze in some play, or do you need to add some? I love hearing what everyone is doing with their tots. So email me at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. Or here's the voicemail number, 512-827-0505, and that's extension 3998. Well, it's been a long time, right, since I last did a podcast. We have been moving. As you probably can tell, that's why we haven't had as many podcasts going. We moved from Colorado to England, and we're here. And we've had some family holidays in between as well. The kids are beginning to settle in, and we're getting used to experiencing a new town, finding all the play places to go to and the things to do. But it's pretty difficult because here it's school holidays, and all of the normal things that you can do during the term time are closed because everybody's on school holidays. So it's been a little hard finding new people for the kids to play with, but we've been regularly going to the parks and getting out and seeing different people. And where kids are, they always find people and they always have a chance to play. So we've just kind of been away from everything and trying to get readjusted and new routines set up and new things. We're without all our stuff at the moment. We won't see all of our household goods for at least another month. That brings its own struggles because you now have to find ways of adapting. We're in a totally new environment and we do have a lot of play activities that we can do, but they're just different to what we're used to doing. You know how when you have a play idea, you're like, oh, I can just do that because you know your home, you know you have all the things that are around. Well, being in a different environment, it means that we just can't think that way. So we've bought a few new things and we're just kind of adapting and using some everyday play activities that we can use just from the kitchen, from the bathroom, small things that we can buy because we don't want to buy too much. We're living out of a few suitcases and trying to do the best that we can. There's still a few kinks to sort out so that we can get back online. I'm working on how to use Skype. That's been a strong learning curve for me, and to get a better router, or router as they say here, so that I can stay online, because it was just dropping me all the time and it was quite frustrating. So we're kind of working on a few new things to get that going and set up the studio again so I can podcast and set up a crafting area so that the boys can keep their things all in one place. So I just wanted to get you guys up to date on what's been happening at my end. And I wanted to find out what you guys were doing. So what have you been doing? I know it's school holidays for some still, and it's back to school already for some people. So what was your summer like, and what is your summer like? How are the play activities going for you guys? Write in and tell me. Email me at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com, or try the voicemail number at 512-827-0505, that's extension 3998, and share it with all of us. We'd love to hear how everybody's getting on with their summer. When you moved, when you've gone to a new place, how did you find new friends for the kids? How did you find friends yourself? I'd be really interested in knowing all about that. Well, in last week's show, because it will seem like last week, and the last show, which was show number 34, we had a Lorraine Akerman talking about My Busy Kit. Now, Lorraine sent me a My Busy Kit so that we could use, and oh, what a blessing that was. We've been travelling a lot. I think we've been on about 8 different plane rides since the end of May, which is probably the most amount of plane rides that we've ever done in the last 10 years. I can't think of we've been travelling this much. No, I can't think of it. And we've had to do that with the three kids. And so it's been really interesting. We've kind of learned how to pack for the kids really well. And My Busy Kit was just perfect. So if you want to know a little bit more about that, go back to the last show, that's show number 33, and have a listen to Lorraine talking about My Busy Kit. This week's show, I have an interview with Maya of Mem Tales that I recorded when I was living back in Colorado, talking about her fabulous site, Mem Tales. It's a new way forward in online reading and interactivity for children. I don't want to say too much. I want her to tell you all about it. Stay tuned, because after the interview I'll be sharing the weekly find, which is a see and do activity to keep the kids busy and engaged. And I have a listener email from Emily on Waldorf Play that I'd like to share. Okay, we'll be right back after this short break.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees, small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Today I'm talking to Maya Bissonier from memtales.com, an online collection of children's illustrated books by independent publishers. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots.
Thank you, Melissa.
It's lovely to have you on the show. I so admire women and mothers like you who have an idea and work it through into a fully fledged business. I think we've all been there with our girlfriends and thought of a product or a service that will be just perfect for babies or toddlers or even your preschooler, but you've actually worked all that through into a business. Thanks for taking the time today to share your journey of being an entrepreneur. Can you start with the basics? Tell us about your background.
Well, I have a background in technology, and so I have worked for years writing and developing software programs and basically working all my life on the side of technology and strategy and big companies. And this was the first time I took a career break when I had my second daughter and we moved across the country. That was the beginning of my company.
That's great. Raising Playful Tots is a podcast about mums making the most of playtime. So tell us about Mem Tales. What is it and how does it help mums make the most of playtime?
You know, we call Mem Tales the YouTube of children's stories. And we're a curated YouTube of children's stories. So what I set Mem Tales out to be is to be a place of inspiration and sharing of children's stories. So it's not meant to be a place where you put the child in front of the computer and forget about your child. It's meant to be an online, channel to enhance your real life. So what we do is we let people share children's stories online. We are just books now, but we want to expand it to, you know, any kind of stories, whether you're doing video, audio stories, anything. It should be a place where you go and share the stories. And we provide a space where you can extend and make the story your own because we believe that children's stories aren't just, you know, a static story. It's not something you read and forget about it. Children, you know, live in a different world. They enter the story and they they really experience stories, and we want people across the world to share their experiences around stories. So we let people take a story and make it their own, build crafts around it, and, you know, write songs and so on, and really create a multidimensional world from just a single story. And we want people across the world to share it. And, you know, of course, I do that because I come, you know, I grew up in India, and I wanted my kids to be exposed to stories from around the world. And that's essentially what we want Mutos to be a channel, to be a gathering place for people across the world to share children's stories. And I think, I will say over and over again that this is not a place where you leave your child, you know, on this website and go away, but really take the stories and take it off into your real life and use them to teach kids and engage them, and then come back and share what you did with your kids on the site and really enhance your own lives and the lives of your kids.
That's great. That's a lovely way of mums to play with their children. There's just so many different ways that you can do it there by joining in and using what's already there. That's, I love that collaboration, the way that that works together.
Our spirit is built around collaboration because a lot of us grew up listening to stories from our you know, parents and grandparents, and we make up stories all the time on an everyday basis, and these are powerful stories and really powerful tools. So that's what the platform is meant to be. We're urging parents and grandparents to come and share these powerful stories. They might be really simple ones, but they get lost once our kids grow up and when our grandparents are away, and we want people to come out and share those stories.
That's a great way of doing it, because traditionally, I guess, we're always told to record the stories on, you know, a cassette tape or something like that, where, you know, we don't record on cassette tapes anymore. That's, I guess, so 1980s. Showing my age, right, when I say cassette tape. But and so now, instead of doing it that way, we can actually record it in a multi-visual environment with the multimedia things that we have available to us with the software. That's great. So instead of just the voice, you can get the idea, and we can also add that with the picture of an illustration that can go with it. That's great.
Yeah, and it's you know, when we put it on a cassette tape when we were young, sharing isn't easy. So
yeah,
the two things that internet makes possible is gives us the technology to do things, and then really the richness comes from sharing, right? Sharing and learning, and that's what we want the place to be. So it's not that I just, you know, create a story for my child, but I created a story that my child loves so much. There might be a bunch of other kids around the world who will enjoy the story. So that's what we want to promote, sharing.
That's great. The 21st century mom has a smartphone, right? With all the apps. Well, I guess not everybody has one, but most 21st century moms, that's what we have. We have these phones that can do all these different things. And so I was surprised with the article that you highlighted on your entrepreneur blog, geekdance.com, the article called Parents Using Smartphones to Entertain Bored Kids by CNN.com. That quote,
right, yes,
that really got me was that almost half of the top 100 selling apps in the iTunes App Store were for preschool or elementary age children. And that was just in November 2009 that was taken. Wow, that is a lot of mums that are downloading apps for it, and for such a small age group as well.
And, you know, what is most surprising about that is these devices were not built for children.
Yes.
They were not. Nobody imagined, you know, that a child would be using an iPhone or an iPad. And, in fact, you know, parents were scoffed upon when they actually gave their iPhone to a child. Oh, my God, a $300 device. But they got usability right. They got interaction right. They got touch screen right. And all of a sudden, what happened was it became a viable consumption platform. And it almost seemed like it didn't matter who the device was, you know, built for. And parents started to, like, buy these apps like crazy, and And children, it's a second nature to kids, you know, interacting with these devices. And that's what both amazing and beautiful, because I read every day about, you know, special apps for autistic kids. You know, the touch element is so strong that autistic kids, special needs kids that didn't have, you know, applications to interact with, ways to learn, all of a sudden they have really powerful touchscreen apps. And so it's not surprising at all, because the other number that a lot of people don't know is kids between 3 and 11 years of age, they stream twice the number of hours on YouTube than the parents do.
Wow.
And YouTube, you know, they make you sign an agreement if you want to create an account. You have to be over 18. But these are all examples of, you know, devices and platforms that have freed, like, creativity of people, right? Because they've let people do things that wasn't possible before. And so when there are rich ways, like if I want to find videos of songs that I was singing when I was a child, YouTube is the only place where I can find it. So that's where I'll go if I want to, you know, teach my kids the songs that I sang as a two-year-old. It's just no other place. Because even my mom doesn't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So these have become really powerful ways. So to me, it's just not surprising at all. It is kind of scary in some ways, but it's a powerful reminder that, you know, as parents, we just have to get more and more responsible.
You're right.
But it's unlocked great. It's just a new kind of richness. It's so beautiful. It's really, really nice. It's much better than the screaming toys with buttons and sounds, you know.
Yes.
Of course, we have to use everything responsibly.
Yes, I think you're right. It's hard because technology moves so fast, and we have to move along with it because our kids are learning how to use them in schools, and they just pick it up. I remember when I got my first iPod a couple of years ago, and it was the first time I'd bought something in a while, and it had no instructions on it at all. I was like, how are you supposed to know how this thing works? It's just like, what do you do? And I just kept looking at it, and, you know, I just put it down, and some child just picked it up and immediately was playing with it, and I was like, okay then, this is how it is. You know, before I had kids, and now I've got this thing, and it's so intuitive. You have to play with it, and kids are all into this touching and doing things, and I think as parents, you're right, we have to be smart about this. We can't just sit back and say, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Because there are so many beautiful ways of interacting with it and ways that we can control, but ways that it can be creative too.
That's just like anything, just like any, you know, anything with parenting, I think the more we prevent our kids from doing something, the more they will want to do it.
Yeah.
But if they pick it up and do it with them and, you know, direct them to make the right thing seem more fun, they're more apt to, like, pick that up. So, yeah, totally. I think it puts another layer of responsibility, but I'm an eternal optimist. The possibilities are really amazing. There are more educational apps, you know, on the iPad and the iPhone than were ever available to us. But that does not mean my daughter still loves holding a paper and a crayon and coloring. You know, she will not choose a coloring app just because the real experience is so rich.
Yeah.
This is Lisa of TalkingTots.info, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
It's always exciting to talk to Maya, and I love the ideas that she has for MemTales. You can follow Maya on Twitter by going to @MemTales, that's MemeTales. We talked for so long that I've split that interview into two parts, so be sure to catch the second part of Maya's interview about MemTales next time, and we'll be talking more about how you use her site and the ways that we can be involved as parents in a site to generate more reading material for our children. Okay, it's time for the Weekly Find. The Weekly Find is a part of the show where I find a play activity or something related with play that I found on the blogosphere. Maybe somebody sent me a link, maybe I found it via Twitter, or I've seen it in my feed reader and found something amazing that people were doing, and I just want to highlight it and share it with other people because, you know, when we see other ideas, we can be inspired to do it too. So this week I saw a link actually on Twitter to the Play Academy. Now this is a brilliant activity devised by Kathy from nurturestore.co.uk. Now Kathy has a great site. It's an activity that will be great for you to do during the summer holidays. If you remember a few weeks back, we talked about a series called We Play that was done from Australia. Well, this is something that's very similar. It's another opportunity where you can link up activities that you've been doing with your kids during the week and find out other fantastic ways that other people have been doing too. So if you go to nurturestore.co.uk and you see the amazing things that Kathy's doing. Now, the Play Academy she's been doing has been running through the whole of the summer holidays. She says a few things like this. To enroll in the Play Academy, all you need to do is grab your kids and go play. Indoors, outdoors, imaginary play, messy play, small world play, building towers, building dens, drawing pictures, throwing balls. It's up to you and your children. Take a picture, add a few words, and then come back here and join the Play Academy party by posting a link. And there's also a gallery at Sticky Fingers, which is another blog. You don't have to be a great photographer, she says. And what else? You can also link up through various other ways that she says there. So she's got a button there that you can use if you'd like to. And quite a few people have joined already. I've been away, so I've not been able to participate this time round. But you can. If you have any links, any ideas about play that you want to share with everybody else, don't forget to email me at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. I'd love to hear it and love to share it with everybody else. You know, part of the reason why I do the Raising Playful Tots show is that I don't know all there is to know about play. I just know that I enjoy play activities with the kids and I love seeing people's ideas and trying them out for myself. So I know that other people enjoy trying these activities too. So let's share them. Let's share some of the things that we like and learn more things about play as we go along. Next, I'd like to talk about a new listener email that I received from Emily on Waldorf Play. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we had a really amazing interview with Yanni Nicole. It was show number 30, and we talked all about Waldorf Play. And after the show, I had an email from Emily, and it starts like this. I'm interested in Waldorf style of early childhood development and wondered if you had an article by Yanni Nicole, since she's already written the great books of Creative Play for Your Baby and Toddler. And if you do, could you show me an article about this? Now, Emily was excited about Waldorf Play, and I'm guessing that she wanted to learn more about it. And I don't have an article that I've written myself because it's something that I don't know very much about apart from the interview, but I wanted to share it with all of you because there's bound to be many of you that hold true to the Waldorf principle and love it. So if you have any ideas for Emily, articles that you think that she, as a newbie Waldorf inspired parent, can use, then email me at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. or leave a comment on the blog. You can find that at www.raisingplayfultots.com. Thanks, Emily, for writing in. Well, we've come to the end of the show already. Wow, that was quick. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget that you can get in touch with us on Twitter. I'm at playactivities. That's PlayActivities. Pop on over to the blog for show notes for links to the things that I've talked about today in the show, to find out more about Memtales, to answer the questions for Emily, and to learn more about Play Academy. You'll find details there of the newsletter that I do at Raising Playful Tots 2, where you've got a free download. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider telling others or perhaps leaving a review for us on iTunes. I'd really appreciate that. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 34 for the week of the 15th of August, 2010. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime.